Well, let's go to Psalm 5 today. Psalm 5. I want to look at the topic of a new day. Each day is a new day. And the context that I was thinking of that was in the context of each day is a new day to believe God. In Psalm 5, verse 1, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Right. I mean, the morning is a time that we start our day. Right. For some ages, it's a little bit later in the morning than other ages. Right. But the point is, the first thing, the psalmist here was talking about that the first thing that he did in getting up to set his day, his expectancy was to look up. You know, a lot of people might look at other things. They might look at trouble they're having in their life or this or that, like my job or whatever. But here, his expectancy was to look up. Early in the morning, the first thing that he would do was look to God. Right? Look at Psalm 143. Verse 8 says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." See, the direction that he sought here in the morning was for God to show him. Today, show me what I've got to do today. He looked up. He looked up to God. You know, I got to thinking, the reason I was looking at this topic was, a lot of times in life, as believers, you know, we see the Word of God. You know, we hear what the Word of God says. We know the Scriptures. We've heard them taught more than once, many, many times, right? And sometimes, you know, we fall short of believing them, you know, and sometimes we believe them, right? Sometimes we see consistency in one area and not consistency in another area of life. And we'd like to see consistency in all areas of life. And what I was thinking about was, you know, whatever it amounts to, each day is a new day. Each moment is a new moment in which to trust and believe God for that which you have need of, right? There is nothing that you can do about the past, right? As much as you might want to, right? And there is nothing you can do about tomorrow, right? Really, what you have to live is this moment, this time, right now, right? Look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. I should have said Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, I guess. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Verse 23, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You know, it's not like God exhausts all his mercy and all his compassion and says, okay, you've just used up all your quota, right? You will get no more mercy or no more compassion from me. Right, the Word of God says they're new each morning. Great is thy faithfulness, right? Just because I wasn't able to believe God yesterday in an area means that today is a new day. He's still compassionate, he's still merciful, and he's still faithful, right? There you go. So it's not God that's changed, right? God will not change. They are new every morning, right? So every morning, it is perfectly okay and actually encouraged for us to look up, right? To look up, to have the expectancy of seeing that answer, that understanding, that deliverance you need that day. Every day, our mind must say, okay, you know, I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't. But today is a new day, a new moment to trust and believe God. This moment right now. In Mark chapter 1. Got to go to this verse. Mark chapter 1. You know, it's a simple topic to look at in God's word, but very powerful from the point of view. There's no point in dwelling on what you couldn't do yesterday, right? And there's no point in thinking about what might happen tomorrow, right? Really, okay, am I going to believe God right now, right? Mark 1, 35. And in the morning, Jesus Christ now, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, and that's not 11 a.m., right? Rising up a great while before day. That might be 10 a.m., 11 a.m. for teenagers. That's way before I normally get up, right? Great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, right? I mean, it's always amazes me that God gives you very exact details. Like, what point does it difference does it make that God would tell us a solitary place? He's trying to teach us something. You see, Jesus Christ took the time to get up really early and to get off by himself. He organized his life to do this. Why? In this particular case, it says, and there prayed, right? Maybe it was hard to pray where he woke up because there was other people around. I don't know. I don't know where he always lived, right? But he made it a point to get up early, probably before anybody else was up in the household, to get off in a solitary place and there prayed, showing us how important it was for him to set his day with expectancy from God. Right? Like the psalmist, I will lift up my eyes to thee in the morning. You know, I'm expecting from you today. Show me what I should do today, how I should walk, right? What a great way to start the morning, right? I can't think of a better way to start the morning. Don't want to. Psalm 55. And we know that the morning is the only time that we should have an expectancy toward for God, right? The morning is the only time. You're going to miss it the rest of the day. Yeah. Psalm 55. Verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice only in the morning. No, it doesn't say that. He shall hear my voice, right? So there we have it. You know, now we've covered everything. The point is you start your day with expectancy, continue throughout your day with expectancy from him. You know, so what I couldn't believe him yesterday for some big deal, right? Today, I'm determined to believe him about this today. Right? That's got to be the expectancy in our lives. That's what God encourages us. He says, you know, okay, every day, mercy's new, compassion's new. You know, here we are, lots of faithfulness for you to take advantage of today, folks. That's what God tells us. Children, not folks. Children, you know, so here we have the ability to believe him any moment. Look at Matthew chapter 6. We've got to go there. You guys know the verses we're going to go to. Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 28, near the end of the chapter, it says, and why take ye thought for raiment or clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, that word meaning don't be anxious, right, or mentally distracted. Don't be mentally distracted or be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know, and that's an interesting statement. After all these things, that is the primary concern and anxiety, anxious consideration for people who don't believe in God, right? That's what God's word says. Isn't that what it says? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That's all they look at. What am I going to do today? How am I going to get better off? Am I going to make more money here? Make more, you know, like, where am I going to get fed? Oh, I, God forbid, something just happened to me in the future. What happens if I catch this disease? What, you know, it's just there's an endless array of things that people who don't believe in God are distracted about. And God says, don't you be distracted about that, right? And he even says, yo, ye of little faith. We shouldn't, that's one area we should have absolutely no concern about whatsoever, right? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows you need it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, that's the same word, don't be distracted or anxious for the morrow, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Those things are going to come along. We'll have to deal with them tomorrow. And God told us in Lamentations, okay, next morning, my compassion is still good, mercy is still good, my faithfulness, I'll still be there tomorrow. So let's not deal with that right now, right? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, right? There's enough to think about right now. My concern should be, am I going to believe God right now? You know, if Moses was thinking about 10 years from now when he was standing on the edge of the Red Sea, right? It wouldn't have mattered, would it? Hadn't he not believed God right there, right? See, it's a, we've said it before, but you know, the word, we see it in the word. It is a moment by moment decision to worship and serve God, right? Every moment you must decide, am I going to serve him today? Am I going to serve him now? Right, it's a moment by moment decision. It's, and his faithfulness is there, compassion, mercy, it's always there. I have to choose, I'm going to serve him right now. I don't care what happened in the past, right? And you know, the anxiety for the future, I can leave that alone. I'm going to believe him right now to see what I need to see in my life, right? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So we don't get anxious about the future. Verse 10 in chapter 7, did I say? Okay, let's go to chapter 7 then. Chapter 7, verse 10. In fact, this whole book is worth reading to get the context of these verses we're going to look at, but... Verse 10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You know, you sit around and say, ah, remember the good old days? Remember those good old days? And we could just, everything was just, you know, God's, no. You don't concern wisely. What's the point? What's the point of sitting around and saying, okay, man, wasn't it great then? Or, you know, like the days in Egypt when we ate food without, you know, and they killed our kids. Wasn't it great? When they killed our kids, you know, there's no point. You see, there's no point in dwelling on the past. And this book, if you read the whole book, the context of the man, he tried everything, right? The man tried everything. He tried riches. He tried everything you could possibly think of, wealth and food and clothing and all kinds of anything. He tried it all and found it all to be emptiness without God. And one of the things, thinking about the past, well, wasn't it so great? No. You're living now. You cannot change the past, right? For better or for worse, you cannot change it, right? Star Trek notwithstanding, right? You can't change the past. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, I read this verse. Now, I don't know 100% what this verse means, okay? But I'm going to tell you what I think it means, right? So you can think about it more. If you see better understanding on this verse, I'd love to hear about it, right? Because I looked and I tried to figure out what it meant. I think the best I understand is this. Verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. That's pretty straightforward. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Right? Right? Can you change what just happened? Right? No. Tree falls towards the north, falls towards the south, there it be. Right? There's nothing you can do about it. Right? That's what happened. That's what's going to happen. Right? You know, You're in a situation. Gee, I wish I had spoken God's word. Situation's over. What are you going to do today? I wish I could have believed for that deliverance. What are you going to do today? The tree falls towards the north or the south. You know, there it is. Right? And that's the best I understand that verse. But, you know, what can you possibly do about something that just happened? Right? Nothing. I fell short. Yeah, you fell short. Good. Get over it. Right? Sufficient aren't the days, the evil thereof. Are you going to seek him now? Or are you going to say, well, I failed for 5 years in this. How could I possibly believe him today? So therefore, you're limiting God's mercies, compassion, and faithfulness to your own ability, right? Oh, don't. Okay. You know, the best thing you can do from the past, the best you can do is learn from it, right? If I fail to learn from the past, and then again, learn from it from the point of view of positive learning and what you can, how you can improve and how you believe God, not from the negative learning that Job's miserable comforters tried to push at Job, right, in their religious way of saying, if you look at the history, Job, nobody ever perished being righteous. If you're righteous, if you hadn't done something wrong, all this wouldn't, that is religion. Okay, that's not God. God says you forget. Now, okay, where are we going today? You know, we used to say the old expression, the future is bright as the promises of God. A wonderful man used to say, I don't care where you've been, right? Where do you want to go now, right? That's it. I love that. Every morning you look up, okay, God, where are we going to go today, right? Maybe I failed miserably for the last 10 years of my life in an area. Maybe I failed yesterday in doing something with my children or with my friends, or maybe I've done, it doesn't matter. What am I going to do right now, right? Where are we going, right? Hebrews chapter 12. And here's a positive look at what we can do with the past. Hebrews chapter 12. If you do want to think about the past, here's how we ought to think about it. Verse 1, after reading Hebrews chapter 11, where we have a list of all those wonderful men who believed God and by believing were able to do amazing things, right? Amazing, amazing things, a list of a lot of the believers in the Old Testament and the wonderful things they did by believing God. God says in verse 12, wherefore, because of all these wonderful examples we've had of believing God, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now there is a good use of the past, right? You take a look at all those wonderful believers in the Word of God who trusted him, and consider that and say, okay, because they believe God, so can I, right? I can believe God, he's faithful, I can trust him, I can do what needs to be done. And that's, that's verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. So there's an example of how you can actually learn from the past to affect the future. Right. Philippians chapter 3. It's not empty words to say that it's a moment-by-moment decision. If I was to tell you that it's a moment-by-moment decision, but didn't know that there was something that you could believe in that moment that would bring the victory, it would be an empty promise. Right? We could say, if you really think hard today, you can become a rock. That's not available, right? So if it's a moment-by-moment decision to do something, then the deliverance, the blessing, the answer to prayer must be possible. Otherwise, we couldn't make that promise. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul says, I've just not gotten there yet. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are where?
Behind,
right? And if you look at Paul's life behind,
Was it all bad? No.
No. A lot of it was wonderful. He trusted God. He believed God. He did what he needed to do. Some of it, pretty bad. He didn't say, I'm just forgetting, you know, he just forgetting those things which are behind. There's no, you know, stipulation on what he forgot. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, he was looking ahead. Because I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, he was trying to understand all that Jesus Christ had done for him and what that meant. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to say, okay, I'm trying to apprehend. I'm trying to understand all that Christ Jesus has done for me so that day by day, moment by moment, I can make the decisions that reach for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his day-by-day decision to recognize and understand all that Jesus Christ had done for him. Well, has Jesus Christ healed us? Right? Doesn't that what it says? So if I've not seen healing in my life, can I moment by moment make the decision to get the healing that I need? Regardless of what happened yesterday, can I still do that? Can I still believe that? Can I believe for understanding of God's word? Right? Is that possible? Can I believe to understand the great love of God, love that God has for me? Yes. Can I understand the hope of his calling? Can I understand that? Right? Can I get understanding in situations when I need it at work or at home, when I just don't have the information? Can I get that? Has God made promises to say that I can have those things? Yeah. So my decision at that moment when I need it is to trust him and to try and understand all that Jesus Christ has done for me. Let's keep reading. Let us, verse 15, therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's go down to verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things, even unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, dearly beloved. Right. You see, at all that Jesus Christ has accomplished for you and for me, all of it, is waiting to be claimed by the believer, right? You know, I mean, for many, many Christians, even the simple things of life aren't even claimed, right? Like, all believers can speak in tongues, right? How many believers have availed themselves of that promise in the world, right? A very small percentage, right? Is it still there to be claimed? It's there. It's waiting. It's waiting. What does it take for me to claim that? It's a decision. Right? You know, and you were talking about Betty Baxter, right? I mean, she was completely convinced that she was going to be healed that day. No doubt, right? You know, or any believer, all the believers, that, you know, what's his name? Mordecai, right? He said, Esther, you know, you've been called to deliver us here in this kingdom. But if you don't, I have no doubt that God will bring deliverance from some other area. He was convinced they would get delivered. He said, maybe you've been called to do that. If not, I have no doubt that deliverance will come from some other place. You see the doubt? There was no question. He wasn't trying to force that deliverance. He just knew deliverance was available. Right? And had Jesus Christ hadn't even come yet, right? You know, Paul, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago or whenever it was, you know, he has delivered us, he is delivering us, he will deliver us. He was convinced. You see, it takes a decision. And how you reach that decision and how I reach that decision is different. I don't know what it takes for you to reach the decision. You know, I just know that what I need to do to reach that decision, that I know I can work on, right? But it's a decision. You know, it's there. Just take it. And I think too often, again, you know, and I bring back religion again, too often we think that I still have to do something to obtain that which is waiting for me to be taken, right? It's already there. It's in the bank. I say, okay, God, thank you for the deliverance. Thank you for the prosperity. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you for whatever you have need of. It's there. It's waiting to be done. God isn't asking you or me to do a lot of, you know, all this while you haven't quite succeeded yet. It's there. So whatever it takes for me, for anybody to make that decision, we got to make it. And that's the moment-by-moment decision. It's not, again, remember, that's why I brought up, you can't change what happened in the past. So if I failed to walk into deliverance in the past, fine. You know, done. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, let's not sit around and say, what about the old day? Now, what am I going to do right now? You know, so when we go to God in prayer and expectancy, it's, okay, Father, this is the day. Right now is the day of deliverance. Right now, right? Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, we live by faith. We live by all that Jesus Christ has done. That's our new life. It's a new day, a new moment. It's a new life we have. And we're to live. You see, even the Word of God must supersede our experience. Even our experience as believers, right? If I've tried to believe something in an area and I have not experienced what I need, the Word of God must be greater to me than that experience. So, you know, forgetting those things which are behind is not just for when you get born again, right? Was Paul just born again when he said that, wrote that? No. It's forgetting those things which are behind, right? I don't care if I've tried to believe this promise 100 times and failed 99 times. I don't care, right? The life that we live by the faith of Jesus Christ, right? So, okay, Father, this time is the day, right? Otherwise, that woman, remember, 12 years, right? You know, never gave up, right? Result, got it, right? You might say, well, it took her 12 years. Yeah, but she might never have gotten if she'd quit, right? You see, so you believe. And the thing is, if it wasn't available, it would be an empty cause, an empty promise. But here we are reading all that is available, right? So you know it's there, you know it's set to your account, and you know it takes a decision but to accept it, right? We'll close in Colossians chapter 2, please. The Word of God is always true right now. It is still true, it is always true. My experience and your experience, very much secondary. Galatians chapter 2. Sorry, Colossians, thank you. Verse 10. And you are complete in him. You are complete in Jesus Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom are ye also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Now, we didn't get circumcised, but we're circumcised with him, right? Verse 12, buried with him. We weren't there, but we were buried with him in baptism. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. See, now you are seated with him. You died with him, buried, baptized, raised with him, and seated with him. And that is where we are today. That's why we have access to all that's available in Jesus Christ at any moment of the day, right? Every day is a new day. We don't get all, you know, annoyed about what happened in the past and dwell in the past. Can't change it. Nor do we have anxious consideration for the future, right? But we face the future trusting and believing God on a moment-by-moment basis, right? We moment-by-moment bring into fruition all that Jesus Christ has done for us, that he has set to our account. We make the decision, yes, Father, I want that. I'll take that, right? Recognizing that your works, right, your works or my works aren't what's required to earn his love or blessings in our life. His mercy and compassions fail not, you know. His faithfulness is every day he's faithful. He's always there. He'll always be there for you every single moment of the day. All you and I got to do is
believe him, right?
To take that decision, yes, Father, I'm going to believe it now, right now, right? So every day is a new day. Every day is a new moment, a new second, if you will, right? To believe our Father God, right? That's it.